السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
الله أكبر الله أكبر
الله أكبر
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
أشهد أن سيدنا محمد
حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين أما بعد Dear brothers and sisters, it is common knowledge known by every single Muslim that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. His power encompasses all things, as he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ Indeed, Allah has power over all things. It is also basic knowledge that every single Muslim knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does as He wills. فَعَّالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ He does as He wills. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. He does as He likes. And in Surah Al-Imran, the third chapter of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how He exercises His divine will. He gives a statement to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, قُلِ اللَّهُمَّ مَالِكَ الْمُلْكِ تُؤْتِي الْمُلْكَ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتَنْزِعُ الْمُلْكَ مِمَّنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُعِزُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ وَتُذِلُّ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِيَدِكَ الْخَيْرُ إِنَّكَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ تُولِجُ اللَّيْلَ فِي النَّهَارِ وَتُولِجُ النَّهَارَ فِي اللَّيْلِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ وَتَرْزُقُ مَنْ تَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah Ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O Allah, the King of Kings, You give dominion to whomever You will, and You remove it from whomever You will. You honor whomever You will, and You debase whomever You will. In Your hands is all good. Indeed, You have power over all things. You transform the night into the day, and You transform the day into the night. You take the living from the dead, and You take the dead from the living, and You provide whomever You will without limit. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give power to someone, no one can stop Him. If Allah wishes to remove and strip power from someone, there is no one who can stop Him. If Allah wants to honor someone or something, there is no one to stop Him. And if Allah wants to debase and humiliate someone or something, there is no one to stop Him. Therefore, in the big picture, this means for us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, establishes hierarchy in creation. He prefers some over others. He prefers some people over others. He prefers some places over other places. He prefers some times over other times. And one such preferred time, preferred over other times, are the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah that we find ourselves in. Dhul-Hijjah is one of the sacred months, one of the four sacred months, Al-Ashhurul Hurum, mentioned by Allah Ta'ala in the Quran. Inna iddat ash-shuhuri 'inda Allahi 12 shahran fi kitabillah. يَوْمَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ مِنْهَا أَرْبَعَةُ الْحُرُمِ. Allah Ta'ala tells us the number of months in the sight of Allah are 12. On the day He created the heaven and the earth, the heavens and the earth, and among them, four are sacred. Four are from the sacred months. Hurum. Hurum comes from the word haram. What that means, it is especially sacred and sacrosanct. It also means that what is normally halal may be made haram in the specific sacred time. And what is ordinarily haram is even more haram if it is done during these sacred months. The sin is multiplied. So the haram, or the sacred months in Islam, are sacrosanct, and they are to be respected and honored and revealed. Allah Ta'ala chose these as golden times, golden opportunities in which rewards are multiplied. And the Hajj occurs in this month, and this month is named after the sacrament of Hajj, and it occurs in the well-known month, as Allah Ta'ala says, الحج أشهر المعلومات, that the Hajj occurs during the well-known month, the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Now the compassion and the mercy and benevolence of Allah Ta'ala are always available any day of the year, any time of the day. But in these sacred days that we find ourselves in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, Allah Ta'ala extends even more compassion, even more mercy, even more opportunities of favor and forgiveness, particularly for those who seek them. Allah's mercy is always available to us, but it is especially available for those who seek them in these sacred days. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us to go out of our way and to seek those sacred days. He says in the hadith, "Inna li rabbikum fi ayyami dahrikum lanafahat." Indeed, your Lord has in these days of yours nafahat, which are the sweet and gentle breezes of divine mercy. Ala fata'arradu laha. He then says, so seek them out. So expose yourselves to them. So this is the time that we are in, dear brothers and sisters. And every time around this year, we talk about Dhul-Hijjah, and we are reminded that even though we are here and we are not making the Hajj, we are still connected with the Hujjaj insofar as we are connected to the sacredness of this period. So the spiritual blessings and rewards of these 10 days are open for those who are performing the Hajj and those who are remaining at home. So they are open for the Hujjaj and they are open for you and me. The most virtuous 10 nights of the year are the last 10 nights of Ramadan. But the most virtuous days are the first 10 days of this month of Dhul-Hijjah. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, he relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ma min ayyamin al-amalu salihu fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam." He says sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are no days in which righteous deeds are more beloved to Allah than these days. So that one righteous action that you're performing on any other day is superior, and one receives more reward for it and more blessings and openings when it is done just in the sacred 10 days that we are in right now. So what can we do? How do we expose ourselves to those nafahat, those sweet, gentle breezes of mercy that Allah Ta'ala has sent forth in these days of ours in the month of Dhul-Hijjah? There are many things that we can do. And it is wise to make a plan to maximize these days in a way that is sustainable and in a way that is workable within our schedules and daily responsibilities. So here are a few things that we can do in these days, things that we can remind ourselves of to reap and seek in these days leading up to the Eid. The first of them is the act of fasting, particularly the 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah before the day of Eid, because we do not pray on the day of Eid or the Ayyam al-Tashriq. There's a hadith recorded by Hunayda bin Khalid radiallahu anhu, and he tells us that his wife said, some of the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told me that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to fast on the day of Ashura and the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah and 3 days out of every single month, the Ayyam al-Bid. So this hadith tells us that it was a practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to fast for the 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah leading up to Eid al-Adha. So this means that if it's possible, one can fast all of those days leading up to the Eid. Another beneficial deed that we can do in these days of ours, in Dhul-Hijjah, is the act of dhikr, but a little bit more, or a lot more, in a way that is sustainable, carrying us through this month. And this can be done by saying the takbir, Allahu Akbar, the tahmid, Alhamdulillah, the tahleel, La ilaha illallah, the hawqala, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, the tasbih of subhanallah, the tasliyah, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi, in similar forms of remembrance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the act of dhikr in connection with these days. He tells us in the Quran, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ. Remember Allah's name in the specified days. And those specified days are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So by remembering Allah Ta'ala in these days, we are following the divine instruction in this verse of the Quran. It is related that the Sahabi Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to go into the marketplace reciting the takbirat loudly to remind others of this sunnah. So there's no specific form or order or method except abundant dhikr in an open-ended way. But Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wanted to remind people that these are not just ordinary days. So you can imagine him walking through the market as people are busy buying and selling, engaging in their worldly responsibilities, and he's going, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Not because it's the day of Eid, but he's reminding people of dhikr, where it is especially virtuous in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. Another thing that we can do, and not can do, but should do in these days of Dhul-Hijjah, is make tawbah, to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking His forgiveness and refraining from the muharramat with remorse and resolve to not go back to them. In these blessed days, there is a great opportunity to benefit from the extra benevolence unveiled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is by tawbah, by setting aside a time in these days, daily and nightly, to repent from our sins. To repent from our sins, the major sins and the minor sins. The ones we've done deliberately and the ones we have done without thinking. The ones we remember and the ones we have forgotten. The ones that are between us and Allah and the ones that are between us and the rights of human beings. If we do tawbah in these days, we are taking advantage of the nafahat, those sweet, gentle breezes of divine mercy that descend in these 10 days, and we're doing something we should already be doing. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, "At-ta'ibu min adh-dhanbi kaman la dhanba lahu." The one who repents sincerely from his sins is like a person who does not have a sin, is like the person who didn't sin. If you are struggling with certain bad habits, sinful habits, and you make a genuine tawbah, a repentance, it's as if you never did those things in the past. They are wiped clean. They are wiped away. And what better opportunity to repent than these 10 days where everything is magnified, everything is given an increase, including the act of tawbah. Another thing that we can be doing in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, dear brothers and sisters, is simply increasing somewhat or a lot in the nawafil, or the supererogatory voluntary acts of worship. Because these are the days in which no deed, no righteous deed, is more beloved to Allah Ta'ala than what is done in these 10 days. So whatever you do is magnified and is greater than when it is done at any other time of the year. So these are special days. So we should mark them by trying to do more than what we normally do, whether it is of prayer or fasting or charity or dhikr or anything that is considered a righteous action, because we receive an increase in it from the blessings and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there is an important caveat and word of caution in connection with this. We want to be eager and avid in seeking khayr, in seeking good, by committing to doing a little bit more or a lot more voluntary acts of worship. However, we have to understand that increasing in voluntary worship cannot be done at the expense of what is fard, of what is an obligation. Because one cannot seek to make profit if they have squandered their capital. If you have a business, you understand that preserving your capital takes precedence over securing an extra profit. If you're going to seek a profit while squandering your capital, you are a poor businessman. You do not know how to run a business. And in this tijara that we have between us and our Lord, we understand that there is capital, there is ra'sul mal, and then there is the extra profit, the ribh. You cannot sacrifice your ra'sul mal to get the ribh, to get the profit. And what that means in this context is we should not prioritize extra acts of worship if we are neglecting the fard. It is a higher priority to pray our fard prayers on time than it is to pray extra nawafil. So if a person is forced to choose either between extra nawafil, voluntary acts of devotion, and preserving their five daily prayers on time, if they have to make that choice between one or the other, they have to choose establishing the fard. That always takes priority. We do not want to be the people who are so avid in seeking the extra while neglecting the fundamental, while neglecting the fard. So let us be mindful of that as we seek the khairat. If a person is struggling with praying their five daily prayers, if they don't pray them on time, or if they miss many, let these days be an opportunity for them to reconnect to their fard by praying them properly, on time, consistently, daily, with the intention that it remains their practice until the day they leave this dunya, where they start now in the days of Dhul Hijjah with the commitment that I'm going to pray all of my fard prayers on time to the best of my ability. I'm not going to neglect them. I'm not going to skip them. I'm not going to miss them without an excuse. And I'm not going to save them all up to the end of the day when I'm at home after work praying Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha before I go to bed. Let that be a commitment. And if a person is praying their fard on time, alhamdulillah, then let them add a little bit or add a lot in a way that is sustainable, seeking the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that we can do in these 10 days, dear brothers and sisters, beyond extra devotional actions, is maintaining the ties of kinship, maintaining family ties. When a person becomes busy with work or with school or with life in general, it is difficult sometimes to maintain those ties of kinship. But these days of Dhul Hijjah are a golden opportunity to rekindle those ties and strengthen them. And this goes beyond just calling the person and reaching out, because there's lots of people who are striving to do good, striving to obey Allah Ta'ala and draw near to Him, but they cut off their relatives. They cut them off entirely. But now is a good time to repair those relationships, to make effort to reconnect, especially before Eid, when you're likely to see those relatives. Now maybe you have experienced negative things from your relatives. Maybe you're the madlum, the one who was wronged, and they're the zalim. This doesn't mean that you have to forget the oppression and harm done against you. But what it means is you take the higher path and ask Allah to forgive them and to seek to reestablish ties while keeping yourself away from the situations and circumstances where you could be victimized by them again, if that's what they're like. Every person knows their own situation, and you have to be wise. But reestablishing ties, connecting to those people, especially before Eid, is a tremendous act of worship and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One should try to repair those relationships and be proactive. Dear brothers and sisters, these are days of opportunity. Opportunities for forgiveness, for mercy and pardon and increase in nearness to Allah Ta'ala. So may Allah Ta'ala give us beautiful intentions and the ability to carry them out in these days leading up to Eid. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه كما يحب ربنا ويرضاه والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان المتلازمان على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, one of the virtues of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah is found particularly in the ninth day of Dhul-Hijjah, the day before Eid al-Adha. And this is the day we all know as Yawm Arafah, the day of Arafah, the day in which the Hujjaj assemble on the plains of Al-Arafat to complete one of the essential rites of the Hajj. And it is recommended for us to fast on the ninth of Dhul-Hijjah, the day preceding Eid. And among the many merits of that day, we know that it marks the day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam adina. He revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Arafah that today I have completed for you your deen and have perfected upon you my favor and chosen Islam as your deen. This is the day of Arafat. So it refers to forgiveness of sins and the completion of this way of life known as al-Islam, al-Shari'atul Mutahhara, the purified way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was completed and sealed on the day of Arafah. And fasting on this day is an opportunity for our sins to be forgiven, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting on the day of Arafah absolves the sins of 2 years, the previous year and the coming year. So this is the opportunity to come on the day of Eid with a clean slate. So imagine the person who is seeking the blessings of Allah Ta'ala in dhikr and fasting and prayer and repentance, and they fast on that day and are forgiven as a result. They show up on the day of Eid clean, not just outwardly in their Eid attire, but inshallah clean inwardly with forgiveness and mercy upon them. Another thing that one should do on the day of Arafah, the ninth of Dhul-Hijjah, besides fasting and preparing for Eid, is to utter the tahleel frequently. The tahleel being La ilaha illallah. There's a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recorded by Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi in which he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best dua is the dua said on the day of Arafah. وَأَفْضَلُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي. The best that I have said as well as the prophets before me is لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. There is no God but Allah, who is alone and without partner. To Him belongs the dominion, and to Him belongs all praise, and He has power over all things. In conclusion, dear brothers and sisters, we have to be aware of our state. Where are we in relation to these 10 days that are upon us? One of the great imams, Imam Abdul Wahhab al-Sha'rani, rahimahullah, he said that it is absolutely critical for the believer to strive and prepare themselves for the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah by actively removing any impediments, any awa'iq or mawani' that prevent them from feeling the specialness of these sacred days. He says that you should feel the specialness of these days just as you feel the specialness of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And we all know how we feel in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. The energy changes in those last 10 nights. People feel different. They are motivated. They are drawn to seeking divine favor. Do we feel that during the daytime of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah? We have to take an assessment of ourselves. Wa ila Allahi al-mushtaka. We feel that difference between the energy we bring to the last 10 nights and the energy we may or may not bring to these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And there's a sociological aspect to this as well. Because when we're fasting in Ramadan, it's a communal experience. We're all doing it. We're coming together every single night. Whereas in these 10 days, outwardly at least, they seem like any other day. What is the difference between the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah and any ordinary 10 days in Shawwal or any other time of the year outside of Ramadan? So he is saying that we should try to remove any impediments, any barriers that prevent us from feeling the sacredness of these days the way we feel the sacredness and specialness of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So may this reminder about the virtues of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah inspire you and me to do a little extra or a lot of extra in seeking that closeness to Allah Ta'ala. May it inspire you and me to fast on the day of Arafah and to seek Allah's forgiveness. But the most important thing, dear brothers and sisters, that we have to cultivate to reap all of these things is simply having a sense of the sacred. Having a sense of the sacred. Because the purpose of seeking Allah's pleasure is not to get obsessed with focusing on extra credit actions while losing sight of the purpose behind those actions and what they're supposed to cultivate within our hearts. So by observing the sacredness of these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah through extra prayer, extra fasting, remembrance, we are doing extra good deeds, but we are also marking a sacred time with sacred actions. And we are honoring what Allah Ta'ala honors. تَعْظِيمُ مَعَظَّمَهُ اللَّهُ نُعَظِّمُ مَعَظَّمَهُ اللَّهُ. We are honoring what Allah Ta'ala has honored. We are treating as sacred what Allah considers sacred. And that is the most important thing we can take away from these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Maybe you fast one day, maybe you fast two, maybe you give a little charity, maybe you do very little extra, but you do some. But if you have that sense of the sacred in these 10 days, then you have triumphed. Because that is the most important lesson to draw from it. Honoring what Allah Ta'ala has honored. Allah Ta'ala calls this month one of the sacred months. Al-Ashhur al-Hurum. What is normally haram is even more haram in this month, and the sin is multiplied. So one of the greatest blessings we can have is simply having a sense of the sacred, whereby we honor and respect the places, the times, and the things that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deem sacred. There is a challenge before us, dear brothers and sisters. There is a disease that runs rampant within the ummah. And if that disease is unchecked, it will spell the loss of iman altogether. And that disease is a loss of the sense of the sacred. And this applies to many things, where a person loses sight of what is sacred. But at its root, it is when the heart loses any sense that there are matters more important than its flimsy wants, desires, and personal preferences. Because when the nafs, the ego, that lower self, is the most sacred and important thing to the person, when the ego is deified, then everything else is going to be subverted in order to serve it. So we have to consider our attitude towards the sacred, not just the sacred days that are upon us, But anything that is sacred, anything that is from the sha'air of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sacred symbols of Allah ta'ala, how we are in relation to those things. Do we have a sense of respect and reverence? Do we have a sense that there are certain things that are sacrosanct, that are off limits? May Allah ta'ala give us that ta'zeem and instill it within us in these 10 days. Dear brothers and sisters, we are in days of opportunity, opportunities for forgiveness and pardon and increase in nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He enable us to seek His pleasure in these 10 days and to fast for His sake on the day of Arafah, so that our sins are pardoned from the past year and the coming year. And may Allah instill in us this sense of the sacred for these days upon us and everything that Allah considers sacred. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad, عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.